Welcome to the Spin Axis podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins.
This episode is brought to you by the Stack System. If you're looking to hit the ball further, wedge it closer, and make more putts, they've got you covered. Dr. Sasha McKenzie and the VP of Fitting and Performance, Marty Jerkson at Ping, have built an amazing AI-driven app to help you with all those parts of your game. Use code SPINAXIS to get 10% off your order. They just released their very own Raider device, which is as good as a $3,000 launch monitor to get ball speeds and carry numbers so you can track how much further you're hitting your drives and to dial in those wedge distances. The Stack is being used by many top pros, and you should be using it also. Today we're going to talk about the sexiest shot in golf, the low spinning chip shot, the low nippers that you see the pros hit and every amateur wants to hit. How do you hit that shot?
We're going to talk about that in comparison to what? Using the bounce shot, right?
Yeah, I would go like the vanilla chip shot that most amateurs even struggle with in themselves, where, you know, let alone trying to hit that low flighted shot that comes in, bounces one and checks up beside the hole.
Okay, so I'll start. Tyson, who should be learning this shot?
Yeah, I think I always try to have players be versatile in the short game. Every short game shot, in my opinion, should have its own strategy. But this low nipper is very technical and requires a lot of skill. And so I would definitely would say this is mainly for a better player sort of shot. But it's all going to depend on does a player have good hands and good skill with where the club is hitting the ground?
So let me push back on that a little bit, because like Joe Mayo would say that he teaches this shot to a lot of people to get steeper on it, to not be afraid of the ground, to not be afraid of kind of shuffling and things like that. And he teaches that to 10 handicappers and stuff who have stunk at their wedges. It's not just Victor Hovland learning the shot, but it's bad golfers as well learning the shot. So what do you say to that? Does it require a lot of skill, or are we talking about two different kinds of things? Is he just teaching people to chip steeper and not necessarily hit the low flighted spinning wedge?
I think if you teach people how to be a little steeper, this is more of a technique thing. And with Joe, he would say this is very easy. This isn't very difficult. And a byproduct will be that the ball is going to come out lower. And if you can have good equipment on good conditions, you're also going to create more spin.
Yeah, so I would 100% agree with both of you guys to some extent. And I would say, obviously, your beginner golfer doesn't need to even worry about this shot. They're just like, okay, can we make clean contact with this golf ball? And 100%, if you get a byproduct of getting your angle of attack down, and we know that spin loft is the difference between your angle of attack and your dynamic loft at impact, well, how can we create that spinning chip shot? Well, we need to have a greater spin loft. If I remember right off the top of my head, it's somewhere around 55 to 60 is this like beautiful number where you can get some really good spin out of that ball. But if you can't control your low point, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, 57.5 and all of a sudden you bring in quarter inch of fat, wet grass in between that ball and that club face, it's not gonna spin.
Right. And I remember back to, 15 years ago, 13, 12 years ago, something like that, when especially like Andrew Rice was talking about the spin loft mountain. I was talking about that. A few other, 10, 20, 100 of us were talking about the spin loft mountain, where up to about 55 degrees. And remember, spin loft is usually angle of attack and face angle. But if the face is open, the face is technically projecting, to the right or something like that for a righty. So spin loft can be a little bit more than the loft and the angle of attack. It can have a three-dimensional part to it because that triangle or that angle gets widened out a little bit when the face and path aren't kind of aligned. But Andrew was kind of finding out that 55 degrees was when you spin a wedge kind of the most at the time. It doesn't entirely have to do with the corners of the grooves. We knew that back then, and yet somehow we still had, and people were teaching low spinning shots, obviously, well before Joe did it, and Joe would be the first to say that, but Joe has recently popularized it or repopularized it. What are the commonalities though? Like, because I certainly teach a lot of my beginner golfers who tend to tip back and do some other things trying to hit they're not trying to hit low spinners. They're just trying to hit a chip shot that doesn't fat it or thin it. But in tipping back, I still teach a lot of the same kinds of things. So I don't know that I see them as that different, just a stock beginner chip shot. I might set that person up with their weight a little bit more forward and it just kind of stays there. Whereas to hit the lower spinning shot, I might teach them to move that way, move forward, start 50-50, move forward even more on the downswing. What do you guys think of that? Do you teach your beginners the same kinds of basic techniques and principles to hit a basic chip shot?
I would definitely say that I do, because I see the same thing with beginners. Number one, if they're not tipping back, their swing plane is still too shallow to have good club ball, club ground contact. They need to be steeper, which is basically what Joe is doing, right? Getting the swing plane to be a little steeper by doing some of the same things that you just mentioned, Eric, of getting their weight more forward, maybe having them move more forward in the backstroke. I think a lot of people, one of the reasons their swing plane gets too shallow for these shots is they're actually turning their chest or rotating too much and the club gets behind the hands and then it just stays there. And as they learn that they're not going to strike the ground well, they start doing funky things with their body. You simply give them this basic setup, which again, as we're swinging a club 20 miles an hour, isn't that difficult for the player. They all of a sudden start hitting better chip shots. Whether or not it's low and nippy, they're better chip shots.
Yeah, I would agree as well. For sure, the beginner golfer, they just need to learn their low point. That is the number one thing that's going to enable you to hit the shot or hit any chip shot well, is if you can control your low point. If you start swaying back away from the target, trying to lift the ball in the air, that's when disaster happens and you have, you know, very little chance. And the problem with it is people will do that move and they will both fat it and thin it. And their brain just starts spiraling out of control. They're like, how can I fat it and thin it in the same motion? And it's like, well, they're brother and sister to each other. I'll often talk about this with my students. Your goal is you want to get down and into that shot. You want to feel like you're going to move your low point in front of that golf ball. The amount of golfers that they've messaged me like, oh my God, you saved my short game because I got them to be more steep onto that golf ball is unbelievable, the amount. I think maybe once out of 7 years now that I've been helping people with their short game, I've been like, oh, you need to be more shallow into that ball. Everyone else, okay, I need you to get like steep, get that shaft a little bit more vertical, feel like you're cutting down into that ground. And what I would say is the biggest thing that people they're afraid of is hitting the ground. Jordan Spieth is one of my favorite chippers, and that dude literally
takes divots,
stabs the ground. And I can't remember what interview he was talking about. He's like, well, I don't care that I hit the ground after the ball is gone.
It's already gone.
So if you can be okay with hitting the ground, and Joe Mayo obviously talks about moving away from the ground, Jordan's like, well, I don't need to do that because my low point is fantastic. Now, again, going back into that, if you have really good low point control, I don't care if you stick it in the ground or you brush the ground, however you're going to do that, but you need to have your low point slightly in front of that golf ball, or maybe even a little bit further than you had ever imagined to strike the ball solidly. There's a really cool demonstration. I think it was Joe and Adam on Joe's Patreon page, and they were talking about how if you can get some forward shaft lean, you actually have more face to contact that ball. Well, guess what? If you have more face availability, you're going to strike the ball better. It's just common sense.
Yeah, and I think some of that stuff gets overstated in this sense. I measured some of my flop shots, okay? Just high, super high flop shots. I was hitting 6 or 7 degrees down. Joe's looking for 10 to maybe 12. 6 to 12 is not a big difference. You could say it's twice as much. But when we're talking about angle of attack, it could be one up. You know, I've seen people chip with one up or something like that. You know, they're technically, they're going to be very, very precise with that. But, you know, I've seen it happen. 12 degrees is also 2 minutes on a clock. Okay, it's not ridiculously steep. It's not like you're hitting down 30 degrees or something like that. 30 degrees would be insane, but I'm just saying the difference between me hitting a high, super high flop shot, I'm still hitting down on the ball, okay? The club is laying back. The face is laying back a lot faster. The club head is passing the shaft a lot faster. You know, I'm not raising up my center mass and pushing it forward and getting the club out of the ground that way. The club is getting out of the ground because it's laying back and passing the hands quickly. So when we talk about, like, how much steeper into the ball we are talking about and how much easier it is to hit the ball solidly, when we're talking about a 4-degree difference, it's not massive. I think one of the biggest things to, one of the best things to come out of this is that I don't think people really measured short game shots before, okay, before Joe started pushing this stuff. If we know that 55 degrees is the spin loft mountain, there is something to be said too for the fact that Tiger Woods is very good at hitting the high spinner, where he comes in at 2 or 3 or 4 degrees, still delivers 55 degrees of spin loft, but the ball takes off 6, 7 degrees higher because he's coming in 6, 7 degrees shallower, right? So the spin loft, the physics on the ball flight, the contact, the ball doesn't know which way is up or down until it's moving through the air and gravity's acting on it. But at contact, it doesn't care where up and down and left and right are. It's still spinning the same amount. It's still taking off at the same smash factor, which is a little bit lower because we're translating a lot of that clubhead speed into spin. You can hit the high spinner as well. Tougher shot to hit because you're not getting some of that benefit of being able to mislocate your low point a little bit. You are closer to the ground earlier because you are coming in shallower. But for years, a lot of people have taught the use the bounce shot. Is it a matter of do you teach your beginners to use the leading edge with shaft lean? Or are we, you know, because I've found that using bounce is a more forgiving shot for a lot of people. It's still not necessarily easy to hit. But are we using the leading edge or are we using the bounce for beginners?
I would definitely err onto the let's use the bounce as a seat belt more than how you should drive the swing. So for instance, everyone should be wearing their seat belts while they drive in the car, but you only use the seat belt for emergencies. We can use the bounce in an emergency because, well, you don't have perfect low point control and you're going to brush the ground. On the flip side of that, if I'm going to go my own devil advocate on there, one of my favorite short game guys is Derek Dembski, if I pronounce that correctly, hopefully. He talks about the four different shots and how you can, you know, expose the bounce and hit into the turf to create a different parameters of how the ball is going to launch off the club face. But if we're going to go back into, you know, what would be my preferred vanilla chip shot for most amateurs is I'm trying to get them to clip that ball first. And if they're a little bit back behind the golf ball, that's where now if you have the proper bounce or grind that for the shot you're hitting, it saves you in that opportunity.
Tyson, I'll ask you the same question, but at the same time, one of the things I think that's underrated in providing some forgiveness, even if you're using a little bit more leading edge or hitting down a little bit more, is kind of having the heel up off the ground and having the toe kind of down into the ground. Because even then, even if you're trying to hit the lower leading edge type shot, if the toe grabs a little bit fat, it kind of slides the heel side of the leading edge under the ball. And the ball comes out a little higher, a tiny bit more to the right, maybe a little bit shorter, but it still gets on the green and kind of goes up near the hole. And you might be 5 feet shorter than you were planning to be, but you know that can be a way to add forgiveness too. So are you a leading edge guy or are you a teach the bounce guy, or do you have to be a certain skill level before you worry about kind of the use the bounce shots?
I definitely do both for sure, the same thing. I think the thing that I'm looking at when I see, and I just had a guy the other day who I've worked with for a couple of years and his golf swing has changed tremendously. And he hits 4 or 5 shots. And I'm like, dude, there's nothing for us to do here. This is as good as I've ever seen it. You know, what are we doing? And he said, well, my short game is terrible. I can't chip. I can't putt. I'm like, well, sweet. That's what we're doing. So this guy proceeds to start hitting some little 10-yard chip shots. And his lead wrist is probably in 50 degrees of extension going through the ball, right? I mean, it is just buckled. And I sort of talked to him about just trying to sort of have the handle, the butt of the club, and the club head sort of arriving at the same time and not doing a bunch of sort of rotation around itself, which gives him the bounce, more of the bounce through the golf shot. Now, once he did that a few times and started to see the ball get up in the air, go to his target, not hit it 3 inches behind it, then we moved him forward. We had just a tiny bit of shaft lean, which the shaft lean makes the club head work down, right? So increases his angle of attack just a little bit. And so he's using a little bit more of the leading edge. So we sort of give him both versions. And once he gets comfortable with that, as you said, if you want to start to hit it a little higher, we start letting the club head pass the hands just a smidge through the strike. So I will absolutely give both options to people. I think the best short game players are the most adaptable. They can use sort of both versions.
I think it's a matter of, because when I said my flop shots are 6 degrees down, it's just a matter of, to me, often how you kind of use the wrist and how much Dan Greaves talks about his three releases where I think the one is the low one and the three is the high one and the two is in the middle. It's just a matter of whether how fast the club head kind of overtakes. If I'm hitting a low spinner, not that my wrists are kind of solid or locked or anything like that, but they're certainly not letting the club head fly past my hands. And when I'm using, I can set up and change what I'm going to do mid-swing, right? Whether I let the club head kind of fly past my hands, whether I let it kind of come back through a little bit more slowly, or whether I not hold it off, but kind of like that and really more turn through it rather than kind of let the club head overtake. The pattern that I tend to teach people is very similar, whether regardless of the kind of shot you're hitting, right? It's about whether how much layback you want to have in kind of the club head, how much friction you want to add, how much speed you want to take off. Most short game shots, I do agree with, you know, the Parker McLaughlin type of school where you're trying to take off speed. And Joe would say the same thing, but he, for the low spinner, is translating that speed into spin, whereas Parker's trying to translate it into like a higher, softer landing shot. I find that I teach them very similarly. And the difference is just for better players, I tend to teach kind of a 50-50 setup, move forward a little bit in the backswing, move forward a little bit more in the downswing, and just change the release. And maybe you don't go quite as far forward for the higher one because you don't want to get too far ahead of it, because then you can deliver a little bit too much shaft lean. I still like the heel off the ground for a lot of those. We're not talking about flop shots off a fairway lie. You know, those that brings in a whole other set of things. But I teach them very similarly from a body perspective, right? And just what the wrists are doing, what the club head's doing, kind of how fast the arms are moving to let the club head release or not is kind of my differentiator. But in all cases, I will often say to people, we can't be afraid of the ground. We have to hit the ground. Whether you're using the bounce, you can't not hit the ground using the bounce. And you can't be afraid of the ground if you're using kind of a little bit more leading edge shot.
Okay, perfect. So if we're going to go back to the low chipping or low nipping chip shot here, what are a couple tips? And I'll go first for mine, that you can get a player to have hit this shot. So for me, the biggest one that I want them to understand is that they're trying to actually lower their smash factor so that they can, for this shot, actually bring a little bit more speed into the ball. And that speed is going to create that friction from that, you know, obviously you got to have a good lie with the clean grooves and a good ball. That's going to let that ball, you know, launch at like point something, not one point something, but point something off the face.
Right. Tyson, do you have a tip?
Yeah, I always say we need more loft, right? So we're going to put the ball back. We're going to take our 60. We're going to lean the handle forward 15 degrees, right, to do exactly then what you said, to lower the smash, try to get clean contact, increase the spin to create that 53 to 55 degree spin loft.
All right. I'm not a big fan of putting the ball too far back in the stance at all. I find that a lot of people will contradict themselves. They'll open up their stance and then put the ball back in their stance, and they're opening up the feet and all kinds of stuff there. So I'm a big fan of like a middle to barely slightly forward ball position, even for a low kind of spinning shot. My tip is just don't be afraid of like standing the shaft up, but in both dimensions, both face on and kind of down the line, stand the shaft up, take the club head up the wall and let it kind of, don't be afraid of the ground.
Guys, that was a fun episode. That's going to do it for this week's show. As always, do us a favor and subscribe and share this with all your social media.
And you can find us at all the channels at The Spin Axis and online at thespinaxis.com.
Very good. Thanks for listening.